continue on the 7 methods that you can use to obtain your healing or to help someone else get healed. Tonight we're going to talk about method number 6, which is laying on of hands. Now, laying on of hands is kind of an interesting healing method. It's probably the one that Jesus, it is the one that Jesus used more than any other when he ministered. It's also mentioned several times in the book of Acts. You might ask yourself the question, why was this method so prevalent among the Jews? Well, one of the reasons I think is laying on of hands was always a part of the Jewish culture. Now, if you look at Leviticus chapter 16, and you look at verse 21, you find the description of the scapegoat. Is everybody familiar with what the scapegoat was? Okay. Eunice, do you have it there? Verse 21. Would you read verse 21 in Leviticus 16?
Okay. He is to lay both hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the wickedness and rebellion of the Israelites, all their sins, and put them on the goat's head. He shall send the goat away into the desert in the care of a man appointed for the task.
Read verse 22 too.
The goat will carry on itself all their sins to a solitary place, and the man shall release it in the desert.
Okay. Now, in verse 21, what does he say he's going to do on the head of the goat? He's going to lay his hands on the head of the goat. And then what does he do? He confesses over the goat what?
All
the sins of the children of Israel, putting them upon the head of the goat. Now, the Israelites had a tradition. They were used to this. Once a year, they would bring this goat in. I think it was once a year. And they would take all the... God was getting them ready for when Jesus would come. He was showing them types and shadows of what was going to happen when Jesus came and took everyone's sin when he died on the cross. And so what this man would do, the high priest would lay his hands, Aaron would lay his hands on the head of the goat and confess over the goat the sins of the people. And then they turned the goat loose into the wilderness, and he was to carry off their sins, and they would be covered for another year. Deep ingrained in the Jewish culture is this laying on of hands to transfer something from one person to some other object. In this case, it was from the high priest, the people's sins, to the goat. Okay? This was part of the Jewish culture. Now, I'm not going to turn there, but Genesis 48 talks about the elders of Israel would lay hands on their sons before they died to impart blessing to them. And they would prophesy over their sons and say, you know, all different things about their sons and that. But they would lay their hands, Genesis 48 tells us, Jacob, or Israel, his name was changed to Israel, laid his hands on Joseph's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, and conferred blessing upon them. That was part of the Jewish culture. So you got to keep in mind that all through the Old Testament, the Jewish people had a history of laying on of hands. They understood what laying on of hands meant, that when someone laid hands on a goat or something, something went from that away from them into the goat, and he carried it off into the wilderness. Now, Jesus extended this to a method of healing called the laying on of hands. Turn to Mark chapter 5, and let's take a look at a couple of ways that the Bible tells us that Jesus ministered with the laying on of hands. Mark chapter 5, verse 23. Let's see. Helen, when you get that, would you please read verse 23? Yes, sir. Let's read verse 22 and 23.
And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jesus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live.
Now, did you notice there, who was this guy that came? A ruler of what? So he was obviously then what? Jewish. And so he fell at Jesus' feet, and he besought him greatly to do what? lay hands on his daughter. Now, why do you suppose he besought Jesus? He even set the method Jesus should use. This ruler of the synagogue came to Jesus and said, besought means begged, or sought. He came to Jesus and he said, Jesus, would you come and lay your hands on my daughter, that she may be healed? Now, do you think this man understood the method of laying on of hands? Part of the Jewish culture, right? That's what he wanted. And so Jesus went, and in verse 41, it says, he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. You notice he took her by the hand. He laid his hands on her. And this is what the guy wanted. Because he was used to this method of laying on of hands. People can understand, folks. Here's the thing. When someone lays hands on you and begins to pray over you for healing, in this case, it's understood that when that hand touches your head, that's the moment that you are, if you're the one that's sick, is to believe that the healing power of God is being imparted to my body right now. Okay? That's called a point of contact. That's what it's all about. And it's really a belief help. Rather than just standing back and folding their arms and saying, okay, be healed in Jesus' name, which is a valid way of doing it, spoken word. Jesus did that in a couple of cases. Remember he did it to the ruler of the synagogue. He says, Master, I'm not worthy that you come under my roof. Speak the word, and my servant shall be healed. And Jesus said, I have not seen such great faith. No, not in Israel. It took more faith for the man to be willing to let Jesus just speak the word than it would for Jesus to go in and lay hands on the man. Because when you lay hands, that's the time at which you're supposed to believe that it's taking place. It's a belief help, okay?
It's also a very physical thing, because I've read places that they're encouraging doctors and nurses to do. But when Sean was an infant in the isolate and he weighed 2 pounds, they told me to go touch him and stroke him, and he was hooked up to electrodes and all the other. And I could see his heart going faster. I could see him being more alert, etc. In other words, when you actually touch someone,
mm-hmm.
you mean it. But when you touch it, they feel it. They know you're touching. They're very aware. There's a very physical, and I'm sure it's God's plan.
That's a good point. It's an excellent point. How many people, go ahead, Ray.
No, I just agreed.
Yeah. You know, how many times has Marianne come through the room with something, you know, just maybe gotten a little bad news or something like that, and she just walked by and laid her hand on my shoulder or something and said, you know.
Yeah.
It's just like, we're together. Don't worry. That's a good feeling, isn't it? When your husband or wife lays their hand on you or you touch.
It's all in God's plan. We know that.
Yeah, so you're right. It's just something that we're ingrained with deep inside, that when someone lays their hand on you, they're helping. They're there for you.
Yes, it's a calming.
It's a calming thing. Yeah, that's a good point, Madge. Okay, now look at Mark chapter 6. Let's just turn the page. We're going to stay in Mark here. And Ray, would you read verse 2 and verse 2 first?
And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence has this man these things, and what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands?
They could see that mighty works were what?
Wrought
by
his
hands. See, they believed in this. When they saw Jesus healing people, they said, what mighty works are wrought by his hands. Yes, honey?
This is another reason you should be using your King James, because it doesn't say that. We're all looking for hands, but it's not in ours.
It isn't?
No, it says, when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things, they asked. What's this wisdom that has been given him that he does these miracles?
Well,
there's no name of hands. There's no.
Well, see, it's in the Greek. I don't know why they do that.
I don't either.
Okay. That's unfortunate. I don't know what to say except I'm sorry. But it says that mighty works, they said this mighty works were wrought by his hands.
Yeah.
Now read verse 5, Marianne.
He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them.
Now that's interesting, isn't it? There was so much, and in verse 6 it tells us that the reason for that is because of their unbelief in the crowd. But one thing they did believe in is the laying on of hands. But if the part we skipped here, verses 3 and 4, said, they saw mighty works wrought by his hands, but then they said, but isn't this the carpenter? See, they were tossed to and fro here. They believed in the laying on of hands, but they had a problem with Jesus.
They knew him too well.
Excellent. That's exactly what the problem was. They knew him too well because that was his hometown. All right? And because of that, he couldn't do, doesn't say wouldn't, says he couldn't do there any mighty work. That means major miracle. Except, listen, he laid his hands on a few folks with minor ailments. That's what that word sick here means. Folks with minor ailments, and healed them. And he got them healed because when everything else broke down through unbelief, there were still some people that believed in the laying on of hands because it was in their culture. So this is a good method to use with people that maybe have weak faith or something like that, because this is something, like Marianne pointed out, they can see it, they can feel it, they feel like you're involved with it with them, and it's a God-given method of ministering healing according to the Bible. All these reasons. See, so when nothing else is working, what did Jesus turn to? The laying on of hands. When they wouldn't, the unbelief was heavy. Okay, one more. Turn to Mark chapter 8. And let's look at verse 22. We'll let Karen read 22, 23, 24, and 25. You got a lot to read there, Karen.
Well, I do, don't I? They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus said, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened and his sight was restored and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home saying, "Don't go into the village."
Okay, now in verse 22, Karen, this blind man came to Jesus, and what did he do?
He begged him to touch him.
There it is again, see? They believe in the laying on of hands. You know, we may not believe it as strongly today, I don't know. There's still some things, like Marianne pointed out, that there's comfort from the laying on of hands, there's a feeling of being in it together. Yeah. But see, in those days they believed it so strongly, they would actually come to Jesus and say, "Lay your hands on me." Now, we don't hear that too much anymore, where someone goes up to the preacher or somebody that's going to pray with them and say, "Lay your hands on me right now. Just lay your hands on me." And maybe that happens occasionally, but these people really believed in this. And so what did Jesus do? He took the blind man by the hand, led him out of the town, and then, listen, spit on his eyes and put his hands on him. Jesus is doing what the man is. Jesus would always, if you read in his miracles, try to do whatever the person wanted, because that's what their faith was. Jesus is trying to move to get in a faith agreement with this person. And if a person wants hands laid on, Jesus is going to lay his hands on him. He's not going to say, "Well, I guess I won't. I have another method I'd like to use." No, because their faith is in this laying on of hands. He put his hands on him, and he looked up and says, "I see men as trees walking." After that, he put a hand again on his eyes, and he saw every man clearly. So there's some just examples of the laying on of hands. Laying on of hands is not only a part of the Jewish culture, it's also part of the doctrine of Christ. How many have ever heard of the doctrine of Christ? Turn to Hebrews chapter 6. We'll talk about this a little bit, because if you don't know what this is, it's an important thing to know, I think. I'm going to read this because I want to discuss this a little bit. I'm going to start off with verse 11 in chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. It's talking about Jesus in the verses above this. And it says in verse 11, "Of whom," talking about Jesus, "we have many things to say, and it's hard to be uttered," the King James says, "or difficult to communicate, seeing you are dull of hearing." Paul is telling these people he has some things he'd like to say to them about the Lord. But it's going to be difficult because they're not really ready to hear it. Because, in verse 12, he tells us why. For when the time, that by this time you ought to be teachers, he's saying to these people. You've heard enough of the word. You ought to be ministering what you know to others. But instead, you have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. He's saying by this time you ought to know more than you know.
Yeah.
And he said, you've become such as have need of milk still instead of strong meat. Now what is he talking about? The word. You know, there's parts of the word that are called milk of the word, and there's parts of the word that are called strong meat of the word. The milk of the word is the things that you got to have when you're a baby. The word says in 1 Peter 2:2, it says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby. Milk is what causes a baby to grow, and it's very necessary. But there comes a day when enough of this milk, the believers ought to be ready for some of the meat of the word. And Paul is saying, you guys should be there by now. You guys should be teaching others what you know. And there's some things I'd like to tell you people, but I can't, because you're not ready to hear it, even though you should be. And I need to really teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. That means the Word of God. And you've become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. In other words, you've heard the term baby Christian. He's saying to these guys, you that are still using milk, that ought to be teachers, that aren't ready to hear the strong meat of the word, really should be, and you're still babies. And that's not the way it should be. That's just what Paul's sort of talking kind of frankly to these people here. He said, strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use or by application have their senses, the King James says, or it means spiritual perception, exercised or trained to judge both good and evil. In other words, what he's saying is strong meat belongs to them who have been applying what they've learned so that they're spiritually ready to judge what's good and what's evil. But he says you're not there yet. Now what Paul is saying here is that he would like to take them on from here, from the first principles of God, into a little deeper understanding of some things in the Word. He's saying, therefore, verse 1 now, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, he wants to leave this. He wants to leave these principles and go on to something else. He wants to leave the doctrine of Christ, which is the most basic beliefs in the Word of God. And he tells you what they are in just a minute here. And he wants to go on unto perfection. Or if you look that word up in the Greek, it means maturity. And he wants to leave the doctrine of Christ. What is the doctrine of Christ? He tells us right here. It's repentance from dead works. That's one of the basic beliefs of the baby Christian needs to know. One of the first things Christians need to know, that you're not saved by works. You're saved by grace. Okay? And a faith toward God. That's one of the most basic things in the Word. He wants to get beyond this, where it's necessary for faith to obtain the things that you need from God. Of the doctrine of baptisms, that's a basic thing in the Bible. Of laying on of hands is a basic thing in the Bible. Of the resurrection of the dead, that's a basic thing for new Christians. And of eternal judgment. In other words, you know, you need to be saved, because if you're not, you're going to be judged. All right? He's saying these six things are part of the doctrine of Christ, which are basically the first things you need to know. They're the first principles of God, and they're the milk of the Word. And if this is all you know, you're still a baby. This is basically what Paul is saying here. He would like them to move on. Well, my point is here in all this for tonight's lesson is that laying on of hands is part of the doctrine of Christ, which is part of the milk of the Word. It's part of the most basic first principles of God's Word. It's the only healing method that's mentioned in here specifically. Now, laying on of hands isn't only for healing. There's laying on of hands for imparting ministry gifts. There's laying on of hands for receiving the baptism in the Holy Ghost. There's laying on of hands for healing. There's laying on of hands to separate believers for into the ministry. Okay, all these are valid uses of the laying on of hands, and I have in my outline examples of each of these, but we won't look them up because we don't have time. But what Paul is saying here is it's time for you to move on beyond these first principles. And one of the six first principles that it's time to move beyond is the laying on of hands. Now, my point in bringing it out tonight is simply to show you that laying on of hands is one of the most basic methods of imparting healing to people that they'll understand most readily. We know that from what it says right here, and we know it from what the Lord Jesus Christ did when he couldn't get people healed any other method. What did he turn to? The most basic method that they could understand, and that is the laying on of hands. When nothing else worked, remember in Mark 6 we talked about this. Remember what he could there do, no mighty work because of their unbelief, but he did get a few people with minor ailments healed through the laying on of hands. That's the most basic method. Okay, that's all I want to emphasize tonight. All right, so it's a good method. Now turn to Mark 16. Now this is where we get the commission for us, the church, to go out and lay hands on the sick. Up to now, let me just rehash what we've been. We've talked about laying on of hands as part of the Jewish culture. We've talked about the fact that laying on of hands is part of the doctrine of Christ. We've talked about the fact that the laying on of hands is the most basic method of healing, imparting healing to someone else. So it's a good method to use for people that don't understand much about healing. And we've given some examples in this. Now, we're going to see in Mark chapter 16 that Jesus believed in this method so much that he commissioned us to use it when we go to spread the gospel and we run into unbelievers on the gospel trail. Okay, now let's just read about that. Mark chapter 16. And I guess, Madge, you don't want to read?
No, okay. I won't be able to see it.
All right, we'll move around here to Chuck again. Chuck, would you read chapter Mark 16, verse 15, and then we'll stop. And then we'll go on, and you can read 16 and so on. Okay?
He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation."
Okay, where's he saying to go?
The world.
Into the world. What does that mean?
All over.
Anybody that hasn't heard the gospel, basically, isn't it? So are we talking about unbelievers here?
Yeah.
There'll be unbelievers in this group, won't there, when we go out to all the worlds. Okay, so I just wanted to establish that. Now read verse 16.
Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned.
Verse 17.
And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well.
Okay, now, Jesus is saying, people, he's saying, this is the last words that he had to these people before he's received up into heaven. And he's saying, this is the last instructions I have for you, my disciples. I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And since we're talking about healing tonight, he said, go get them saved. He that believeth on me shall be saved. Then he says, and these signs shall follow the ones that what? Believe. Now, since we're talking about healing, let's just talk about that one tonight. They shall lay hands on the sick, and what shall happen?
Shall recover.
What shall happen? They shall recover. Might recover?
Nope. Shall.
Shall recover. Now, folks, I'm excited. Because for years, when I first heard this, I thought, hallelujah. This is a wonderful promise that I'm a believer. I can go into the world, and when I lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. When the Bible was all new for me, I mean, I was so excited to read these things because I got saved just like the Bible said. Everything the Bible said, it said that if I would believe that Jesus rose from the dead and confess him as my Lord, I would be saved. I did that, and it changed my entire life. I mean, overnight, I was a different person. And I read that in the Bible, and I thought, it's exactly what it said happened to me. Then I read this, and I said, I'm a believer. I can go into all the world. Whoever I lay my hands on that are sick, they shall recover. I was so excited. Then, over a period of time, and not seeing everyone I laid hands on recover, I had problems in my mind. I said, I know the Bible's true, but why? I'm not a believer, but I am a believer. Huh?
They're not a believer.
Well, it says go into all the world, so I couldn't argue with that. I said, you know, they're not a believer, that's okay. What's wrong? And you know what? The Lord has shown me what was wrong. And you know what it was? Nothing was wrong. Mm-hmm. What God showed me is, and this is the one thing, if you get nothing else out of this lesson tonight, I want you to get this. What God showed me was that every single time I laid my hands on a sick one, God's healing power went into that person. What they did with it after that was up to them. Now that was a great freeing thing for Mike Fitzpatrick, because it brought me back to the little kid state with the Word of God again. There wasn't that confusion or that God's word can't be wrong, but these people aren't getting healed. He's saying, listen, what I said there, what did I say? I said, did I say when you laid the hands on those sick people, you would see an instant manifestation of my healing? No. What did I say, Mike? You said that when I laid my hands on those people, they shall recover. He said, that's exactly right. Go look up in the Bible, in the Greek, what it means by shall recover. So I did that, and I put it down here for you tonight. And when it says the word shall recover, there are two words there, and the two Greek words are kalos, echo, just like the word echo, E-C-H-O. Now listen to this. This is really interesting. Kalos means it's used of those who are recovering their health. Thayer said that. Strong says it's used of those who begin to amend. What does it mean to begin to amend? What does amend mean?
It means heal.
Get well. Yeah. Be healed. They begin to heal. It's used of those who are recovering their health. You start to see something here? Now listen to what echo means. Echo, according to Vines, means shall have the means of. Folks, I'm getting excited. I don't get excited too often, but I'm really getting excited. Listen to what this means now. Put it together. This phrase should be therefore translated, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall begin to amend, or they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall have the means of recovering their health imparted to them.
Amen.
That's what it says. And that happened every single time. See, it's not an instant thing here. It can be, but not necessarily. What God is saying here, folks, is if we as believers will go up to the sick and lay our hands on them, the means of recovery shall at that instant be imparted into that sick person every single time.
Absolutely.
Now, what we have to tell the sick person is this. I just laid hands on you. And when I laid my hands on you, the healing power of God went into your body. But what you do with it after this is very, very important. God showed me that the problem is not that he lied in this verse, of course, but that the people who receive this don't know what their responsibility is for the healing power that's gone into their body. When that healing power goes into your body, it goes in there to, number one, drive out the sickness. And number two, to heal your body. There's two steps here. And when that healing power goes in there to drive out the sickness, if during this time it's driving out the sickness and be bringing the healing to your body doesn't know anything about it for a while. Your senses, that is. That's why the Word of God says not to look to things seen with the senses, but to things unseen. How do you look to something unseen? Simply this. You look to the fact that when hands were laid upon you, the healing power of God went into your body, whether you see it, feel it, smell it, taste it, or touch it. It's there. Number two, it went in there, and when it went in, it began to drive out the sickness and disease. Number three, and it's bringing about a healing and a cure to your body. Now, what is my responsibility if I'm the sick one? My responsibility is not to stop that healing power that's gone to work in my body. How can I stop it? Simply by saying, I thought I was healed, I guess I'm not. That will shut it down right now. That will shut it down right now. It's not that God didn't do what he said. What did God say I would do? When you lay hands on the sick, they will have the means imparted to them so that they can recover their healing power. After that, the responsibility is up to that person. But we need to explain that. That's why teaching is so important. People need to know what to expect when hands are laid upon them. Do they expect instantly that they should feel healed in their body? No. God never said that. God never said that when hands are laid upon you, you should feel something happen. You might. And if you do, praise God. Just like the woman with the issue of blood. When she went up and touched the hem of his garment, she said, the moment I touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. And when she touched the hem of his garment, she felt the power of God flow into her body. And Jesus felt the power flow out of him.
Right.
Should that be the modus operandi we should expect every time? No. Why? Because you know what? It only happened once in Jesus' ministry. Only once. This way. Where it says Jesus felt the power leaving, or where the person said they felt the power inner. See, we can't trust. What I'm saying is, folks, and this is very important, we don't look to our senses to discover if God's healing power has gone into our body. Because if we do, we're going to immediately say, I was sure that when hands were laid on me, I'd be healed. I guess I wasn't. I didn't feel anything. And right then, we'll shut that healing power down that was imparted to our body. Do you understand what I'm saying here? It's so important. And I really feel God just emphasizing this tonight. That God's word is saying that when hands are laid upon you, the means to be healed, the power, it goes into your body. But don't expect to feel it. Don't expect your senses to detect it. Just believe God's word. And keep your confession centered on the fact that that's the fact. What? How can we do this? What should I do? Let's be specific. What you should do if you're the sick one and you've had hands laid upon you is say, praise God. The healing power of God is in my body, driving out this sickness and working in me to bring about a cure and a healing in my body. Thank God for that. And don't let yourself waver off of that. Stay right there. Say it every time you think about it. Praise God for the answer. What happens under adversity, which sickness is one adversity? If you get in agreement with God's word, remember last week we said, if you get in agreement with God's word and praise him in the middle of adversity, you'll receive the most spectacular answers to prayer. So, sickness is adversity, is it not? Okay, how can I get in agreement with God? Why don't I get in agreement with this verse here that says, when hands are laid upon me, the healing power of God was imparted to my body. And it's bringing about a healing and a cure in my body. And begin to praise God and thank you for it every time I think of it. If you will do that, you will keep the switch of faith turned on. And after a period of time, that healing must manifest in your body. But there's so many ways to shut it off. And if people, see, I'm emphasizing this because people don't understand the little ways that they can shut down God's healing power that's already in their body. What did Paul tell Timothy to do when he came and wrote Timothy the letter? He said, Timothy, I laid hands on you a long time ago, and when I did, a spiritual gift was imparted into you. Stir up the gift of God, he said. You know what happens when we say something like, I thought I was healed, I guess I'm not. That healing power goes dormant in our bodies. It just lays there dormant until it's got something to cause it to go again. And when we say things like, Father, I repent. I don't know what I was thinking. I said I wasn't healed because I didn't feel anything. That's not what your word says. Your word says I'm to look to things unseen. I was looking to things seen. I'm sorry. I ask you to forgive me. Father, my confession now is that I received. Do you have to get hands laid on you again? No. Just say, Father, I received it then. It's in my body now. And that healing power that was laying there dormant will rise up strong in your body again and begin to bring about that healing and a cure. It can happen also if you sin. If you get in strife or something, that can cause that power to shut right down. You know, if people understood the role that love plays in the whole healing process, in everything in their spiritual walk, they would never, ever get out of love. Or if they get out, they get immediately back in. That's one thing God's taught Marianne and I, is boy, when you do get out, get right back in it right now, because you're on dangerous territory.
Absolutely.
So what I'm saying is,
underneath the upper element rains.
That's right. And you get out there in that rain, and 1 John 5:18 says that when we sin, it says, if we don't sin, it says that the wicked one can't touch us. It says if we keep ourselves, the wicked one touches us not. So this is the thing that I'd like to leave with you tonight. And that is, when you have hands laid on you, or you lay hands on someone else, tell them what to expect to believe. We did that, didn't we, honey, to that woman that came to us in the store downtown in Warsaw. They came up and told us she had cancer. And she was all thing. And, you know, we explained this very thing to her. Now, when we lay hands on you, we'll pray right here. We're in the back room in the store she worked in. The healing power of God is going to come upon you and in your body. But what you do with it after that is up to you. You have to, and and she was kind of, you know, people, you got to get their attention. Her eyes were wandering around a little bit. She wasn't listening to what I was saying. She said, now look me in the eye. Listen, what I'm saying to you, it's important. We're praying. And I'm telling you right now, healing power of God is in your body. But you need to every day say, the healing power of God is in my body, working in my body to effect a healing and cure from this cancer. That's what you need to tell people. And it works. So I was so glad.
Sorry, last Sunday.
Oh, you
she
did?
She gave the testimony, and when they got through with the surgery, she has no cancer in her body.
You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did.
Oh, I didn't.
Sorry, last Sunday, Mark Rochester.
Okay.
Church. The thing that works. His example was that
she came out and told
me. Never know what's on
did she?
I mean, right then and there, we decided, right in the start where she works, we're going to go find someplace to pray with.
Absolutely.
Yeah, she saw us in church last Sunday, and they were visiting the same church that we were visiting.
Was she? I haven't seen her since.
And she came up to us, and she said that she'd had surgery. And she said, as a matter of fact, Fitzpatrick's walked in the store. I says, oh, and he went to the back room. And she says, you know, until he told me to look in his eyes, I
did she say that?
Intent.
She wasn't. Her eyes were everywhere.
Yeah. And she said, she talked about it, and she started crying. I said, the anointing is still on you. And she said, when they finished the surgery and took the tests and everything, no cancer in her body.
Praise God. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. See, the folks, this works. This is not just theory. Isn't it exciting to know it works? I was so excited to find out that I was reading this wrong. What I was expecting, I didn't know what to expect when I prayed. I expected that if I laid hands on somebody, I ought to see something different right away. I didn't understand what these words really meant. Do you understand what they really mean? It means that they shall have the means imparted to them so that they can recover, begin to recover. I love that. Because that's something that I can believe every single time I lay my hands on somebody. And I don't have to look with my eyes here. Do they look better? Do they feel better? I mean, someone that prays with you for healing and asks you, now do you feel any better, has got it all wrong. Because that has nothing to do with it right then. But you will feel better later if you will act upon this verse and say, thank God the healing power of God was administered to my body when so-and-so laid hands on me, and it's working in me right now to bring about a healing and a cure. None of us folks have to die of a disease. We can all, if we apply what God's word says, just go to sleep in Jesus.
Amen.
Now, the medical examiner has to call it something. So they call it heart failure a lot of times. But it doesn't mean you had a heart attack. It just means that your spirit left and there was no more reason for your heart to beat anymore. That's the way to go home. Don't have to go home sick. I remember Kenneth Hagin talking about a woman that was 85 years old. She was a woman evangelist and she was dying of cancer. And he went to pray with her. And she says, I'm just so tired. Just let me go on home. And he says, I can understand that. He says, but let's get you healed first. There's no reason to die of this cancer. God doesn't want you to have this cancer on you. It took him, he says, a while to get her to understand that dying of cancer would bring no glory to God. But she could be healed and then die if she wants to. Just go home with the Lord. She was old enough if she wants to. And she got healed. But you know, after she got healed, she wasn't near so ready to go home with the Lord then. She went out and she preached until she was 94 years old. And then at her own terms, she decided she was ready, and she went home with the Lord completely healed. Isn't that wonderful? So Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the method of healing, of laying on of hands. We thank you, God, for the truths you're bringing out in your holy, precious, lovely word, Father. We give you all the glory and all the praise for everything that we've discussed here tonight and for your holy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay, that completes the teaching I had for tonight. Let's go on now and take a look at the homework and see how much of the teaching we've retained.
All right, let's see. We're on lesson 45, and we're going to talk about the homework on lesson 45. And the lesson 45 was laying on of hands. Now what we're doing is we're going through different methods that we can be healed by or help someone else to receive their healing. We had 7 methods that we picked out of the Word. I suppose you might be able to find another one or two in there, but these are the 7 main ones, I think. Number 6 is laying on of hands. And then tonight, after we finish discussing the homework, we're doing the last one in our lesson. So this is the homework then for the homework laying on of hands. Now let's just... The scripture that we used for our text last week was Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 20. And basically it says Jesus was talking, and it was right before he ascended to his Father, and he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they. And one of the things was they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now last week we talked about the fact that in the Greek, the words shall recover are 2 Greek words, kalos, kalos, and echo, like the word echo, echo. And what it meant was that where you lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, one could better translate that really, that when you lay hands on the sick, they shall have the means of recovering their health imparted to them. That means that when you use this method and lay hands on the sick, it doesn't mean that they're going to immediately be healed necessarily. It could be immediate. But it means that when you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in obedience to this scripture, that the healing power of God will be released to go into the sick one and to drive out the sickness or the disease and to cause a healing and a cure to begin to heal that person's body. Now, it may take a little while, but the main thing you have to remember about this is it may not be immediate, but as long as the person who has hands laid on them maintains this attitude of faith and keeps the switch of faith turned on, the healing process will continue until the healing will manifest in their bodies. However, there's many ways to cause this healing power that's transmitted this time to become dormant in their bodies. Such things as a bad confession, saying, I guess I wasn't healed, I don't see any change. We talked about some of that. So this is not I'm just kind of reviewing a little bit before we go over the homework. Now let's go over the homework, okay? First question, true or false? Jesus said that we are to do the same works that he did. True or false? True. If so, what Bible verse tells us this? Anybody get that?
John 14:12.
Right, John 14:12, good. Jesus used the method of laying on of hands to heal people, and this was one of his works. True or false? Mm-hmm. True. Therefore, we are to use this method to heal the sick also.
True.
If we're going to do his works, then we use the method too, right? All right. Where in the Bible does Jesus command believers to lay hands on the sick?
Mark 16:18.
Right. Mark 16:18. Very good. When we use this method, our hands do the work, and we don't need any help from God.
False.
True or false? False. No, in fact, if you look at verse 20 of Mark 16, it said, and they went everywhere preaching the word, and the Lord confirmed the word with signs following. So the Lord is the one that does the works. We just have authority to lay hands on the sick, and we do it in obedience to the scriptures, and the Lord provides the healing power to go into the bodies. Okay. Who is entitled to use this method?
Believers.
Believers. He said, he that what?
Believes.
Believeth on me. In what name do we do this?
Jesus.
In my name shall they lay hands on the sick. Right, Jesus. Give two reasons why this would be a good method to use to get unbelievers healed.
They can see it and feel it.
They can see it and feel it. Hands are what? A point of what?
Contact.
They can see it and they can feel it. Very good. It appeals to their senses. Okay, that's a good reason. Any other method? Why else is it a good method to use, get believers healed? What did Jesus say in the very beginning of Mark 16:15? Remember, go ye into all the what? Go into all the what?
World.
So what's out in the world?
Unbelievers.
So one reason is what Matt said, hands are something, are a point of contact. And the second good reason is Jesus said to, sort of like what Thorpe said a minute ago, he said to go into all the world and use this method. In other words, this is a good one to use for unbelievers. Okay. Name two ways anointing with oil and laying hands on the sick are different. Now, you've probably noticed some of these homework problems are getting a little bit more, takes a little bit more thinking, because they're not just true or false, some of these things. You got to kind of think, and that's good, isn't it? Name two ways anointing with oil and laying on of hands are different. Well, there's some obvious ways, right? One obvious way. What?
You're using oil on one of them, you're using hands on the other.
Right. Okay. But they're both what? Points of
contact.
What's another way they're different? When in anointing with oil, what does it say you're supposed to do to the elders? You're supposed to
call
for the elders. Okay, in this method, Jesus said, go ye, right? So in one case, you're calling someone to come to you, and in the other case, you're going out to the sick one. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel and healing those that are, lay hands on the sick. Okay, name two ways that methods are the same. Both in Jesus' name. That's good. What, Thorpe?
Same result.
Same results, yeah. They get healed. There's a good one. That's
good.
Rather the same. Okay, that's a good
point of contact.
Both use the point of contact. One is oil, one is like laying on of hands.
They're both scriptural.
And they're what?
Both scriptural.
And they're both scriptural, yep. And they're both good for
non-believers
or spiritually immature people. The point of contact appeals to the either non-believers or spiritually immature because they can get their senses involved a little bit. Okay, very good. The word shall recover means that the person will recover instantly when hands are laid upon it. True or false?
False.
It means the recovery process will begin at that moment, doesn't it? And unless something stops it, it will continue until that person is healed. I think I did it again. No, it means that when hands were laid upon him, God's healing power was applied to his body, and the recovery process has begun. That's true. I just said it, didn't I? Okay. The recovery process will, under all conditions, continue until the full healing manifestation occurs. True or false?
False.
Name one condition that might hinder that continue.
Holding on.
What?
Holding aught in your heart.
Holding aught in your heart about what?
Why are things happening?
Well, other people.
Other people. Yeah, like unforgiveness or something.
Doesn't look like it's doing anything.
Doesn't look like it's doing. I don't see any change. I'm expecting my body here. You know, that will stop it real quick because we're supposed to look to things.
Not seeing.
Not just to things.
Seeing.
Right. Very good. Boy, you people are getting more unusual every week. All right. No, the sick one must keep the blank of blank turned on until the healing process is complete. What is
faith?
Switch of faith. Good for you. Name three ways the sick one can keep the switch of faith turned on. We just talked about this kind of, but go ahead. How can What are some things that you can do to keep that switch turned on?
Keep believing.
Keep believing. All right.
Walk in love.
Walk in love. There's a good one. Anything else?
Believe your
confession.
Believe you're healed. Continue to believe that during the time you don't see anything. Your confession, Karen said. Right words. Boy, that's really important. The proverb says the tongue of the wise is, anybody know what the last word is? The tongue of the wise is health.
Health.
In other words, speak health about your body. Don't speak sickness and disease about your own body. How about Thanksgiving? How about just thanking the Lord that even though you don't see anything yet, you have your healing? All right, true or false? Jesus used the method of laying on of hands when a lot of unbelief was present in the people. True or false?
True.
He did that. Remember in Mark 6:5, it said, he could there do no mighty work, except he laid his hands on a few sick people. But he couldn't do any major, mighty work. It's just people with minor ailments. But when he was in a pinch, he used the method of laying on of hands. All right. This method is the only healing method that is part of the doctrine of Christ, which contains the most basic of Christian beliefs. True or false?
False.
Really?
I think it is. It's in there.
That's true. We went over that last week, what the doctrine of Christ is in Hebrews 6:2, and there's six things. And the only healing method that's listed in the doctrine of Christ is the laying on of hands. And that's called, well, I don't want to give away the next question. The laying on of hands is also the milk of the word, and that's why we can effectively use laying on of hands for unbelievers and baby Christians who may not understand other methods. True or false?
True.
True. If you go through that whole thing, we had a kind of a long discussion about this last week, but this whole discussion basically says that Paul's kind of chewing out the Hebrew Christians a little bit for, he says, but the time you ought to be teachers, you're still babies. And I'd like to go on to some other things, but I can't yet. I've got to stay with these certain things. He said, I'd like to move on from the doctrine of Christ, the most basic things, and he named what they were, six different things, and one of them is laying out of hands. But I can't, seeing as how you're still babes. And he called it the milk of the word, too. When we minister, Jesus works with us and confirms whatever we say with signs following. Mark 16:20. True or false?
False.
Why is it false?
Because the aligned word.
Right.
His works.
It's not whatever we say,
yes.
Huh? Yeah. It says he confirmed the word with signs following. Whose word? God's word. Right. Not just any old thing we say. What are some of the signs we may see when we minister? What are some of the signs? He says confirm the word with signs following. Healing is a sign.
Miracles.
Things like that. Any of Jesus' works, plus the works that Jesus didn't do yet, that weren't available yet for him to do, which is like salvation. We can minister salvation. So that's a sign when you get somebody born again, right? It changes their whole nature. We have authority to lay hands on the sick, but blank provides the blank to heal the sick. We have the authority, but what is it?
God.
And the power.
Power to heal the sick. All right, good. Name two things in John 14:12 and 13 and Mark 16:18 and 20 that are similar. Well, that's kind of a tough one to answer here, but remember John 14:12 and 13 said that he that believeth on me in my name shall he do the works that I have done, and greater works than these shall he do because I go to the Father. And then Mark 16:18 and 20 says that believers should lay hands on the sick. And they shall recover. So it's kind of hard to do without just having the verses in front of you. Does anybody got any ideas on this? So now that I read it, it's not. Anybody got any ideas? What are similar things in those verses? They're both doing works of some kind. In one case, we're laying hands on the sick. In the other case, it's just doing works. Who does these works? What is common in both, huh?
Jesus.
In Jesus' name, that's the same. Because in John 14:12, he says, he that believeth on me in my name shall he do. And in Mark 16:18, it says that...
In my name they shall cast out.
Right. So they're both in Jesus' name, aren't they, in both verses. And also, if you look closely, John 14:13, it says, if you ask or demand anything in my name, I will do it. And then if you look at Mark 16:18, he says, as we go and do these works, it says, we'll go into all the world and do these works, it says, and Jesus will confirm the word with signs following. So Jesus does it in both cases as well, if you read that closely. So Jesus' name is the same we use. Jesus does it in both cases. It's for believers only in both cases, okay? So those, there's three things that are similar in those two verses. All right. I have one more question for you. There wasn't any homework. I'm just going to ask it. When you go, say you go for prayer and have hands laid on you, who decides whether the minister that you go up for, maybe you go up and get in the healing line, who decides whether the minister prayed the prayer of faith for your healing? All right. Let's say I go up for healing, okay, and I get hands laid on me. Who decides whether the prayer of faith was prayed for my healing?
You.
That's good. I do. See, a lot of Christians have got it backwards. They go up to get hands laid on them, and they're looking for the minister's faith to bring the healing to them. But it's our faith. And that hand, when it touches your forehead, or wherever the minister touches your hand, or with this oil, or whatever, at that moment, receive something. That's the moment you're to receive the healing power of God going into your body. Daughter, thy faith made you whole. We covered last week in our lesson. It was kind of interesting. Nowhere in the Bible does it ever say that anyone was healed because of Jesus' faith. Not once. It was always the person's faith. So, very good, Karen. Who decides whether the minister prays the prayer of faith for your healing? You do. Very good. All right, that completes the homework.